Yes, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe.
And I am Carolyn.
And you guys are listening to one and only Carolyn and Joe! Whoa. It's getting cold outside. That's the weather. My name is Joe Carabello. I'm a filmmaker, a photographer, a writer. But today, I am a podcaster. And sitting across from me in the Astray Production Studios is the one and only super talented, the greatest person I've ever met, Carolyn. How's it going, Carolyn?
Hi. I am, as I know of, the one and only Carolyn Bluffs.
The one and only.
You know what? I was getting a little nervous, like, not to bring this up because everyone has moved on and this relationship wasn't really much anyway.
What are we talking about?
But no, for a while I was thinking, like, maybe I won't be the only Carolyn Bluffsky, because there was like a brief period of time where my brother was dating a Carolyn. And I was like, oh my God.
There can be only one. I was like, that's what the truth was.
I was like, what if they can get married and then, like, I won't be the only one? And then that felt a little weird. But, like, but honestly, like, in all truth, like, I don't think their relationship was, like, that at all serious. I don't even think they really dated very long. But it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I don't even know if they were really, like, seriously dating, or if they were just
Was it just a thing?
Where are we going with this relationship?
Was that the question that was asked?
I actually don't know where it went, but
what are your intentions in this relationship? Those are the questions.
I mean, I guess, like, we can say they hung out a couple times, but, like, you know, for a second I was like, uh-oh, if this gets serious, I won't be the only Carolyn Bluffsky.
Well, then what would happen then? War.
I don't know.
All-out war would happen.
Only one person can own each name.
That's true.
So what would all the John Smiths do?
Battle.
Who's the number one John Smith?
They'd have to go to another country.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I really like how my name is pretty, I guess, unique. I mean, I've met other Carolyns in my life, but it's not like this absurd amount.
Absurd amount of Carolyns?
Yeah, I've met probably like 5 Carolyns or so in my life, and they've all been pretty cool, so that's good. It's always good to have people that have your name that you like. You know what I mean? Like, there's always a few people who,
unlike,
like,
me, I don't like my name. But wait!
You don't? We'll have to talk about that. We'll have to resolve that, sir. Oh, I hear the music. This means that it is the Carolyn News segment. And guess what, guys? I don't have a full long list of tour dates to announce because just this past weekend, the other week ago, I guess, we were at New York Comic Con, and that officially ends the Curls Studio 2015 tour. And I have to say, we are not going to add any more tour dates to that, even if something miraculously comes up. I've been known to, like, add stuff as I hear about new shows, but I think officially we are done for 2015, because we did really well at New York Comic Con, and I really think that we should just end the year on a high note, on a big show, and that's pretty exciting. But we do have one more event that I am planning, and I'd like you to be there. I really would. It is on Halloween, and it's called Cartoonists Draw Blood. What this is we are not going to be stabbing you with our pens, but American Red Cross will be there to take your blood. And it's really exciting. I mean, we've done 2 already. We've saved about 120 lives. That's pretty amazing. And we are doing a 3rd blood drive, again, on Halloween. And for those of you that are in the D.C. metropolitan area, I really encourage you to go. This is all taking place at this venue I found called Seeker's Church. And luckily I had a tip from somebody in the area, and that was a good venue. So the address is 276 Carroll Street, Northwest, in Washington, D.C. And you spell Carroll with C-A-R-R-O-L-L.
Has it always been at Seeker's Church? Has it been someplace different?
It has always been at Seeker's Church.
Just the placement of the artist has just been different. Because I remember one time it was upstairs, and last time I was there it was downstairs.
We moved downstairs, and which I think is a good decision that was brought on by Troy. So he's been helping me. The first year I did it all by my lonesome, and it was pretty hard to actually do your own blood drive by yourself. But luckily, Troy has been helping me. So it's pretty much just Troy and I, but we do have this huge ensemble of artists. And this year we have, I think, more artists than ever, but, you know, somebody just asked me today if they wanted to join in, and I was like, sure, why not? You know, like, the more the merrier, but I'm gonna cut off the AM artists because we have them split into AM and PM. So many people are gonna be there in AM.
Team AM, team PM.
Which I think, you know, like a lot of people want to get it done and move on with their day. Also, you know, even with the blood donations, we have a lot of people scheduled for the AM, but we do have PM time slots, and we do have time slots that we need to fill as of right now. So I think we have about, what, 14 or so more days until the, well, maybe not 14. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I can't do the math real quick, but we have, you know, a week and a half to 2 weeks left of time. So we gotta fill those slots, guys, because we do have a lot of people pledging to donate blood, but we'd like to have more. And if you already want to schedule your appointment in advance, it just helps the Red Cross know how many people are coming in at a certain time. It really helps just the traffic, the flow, as you would say, of the blood and the people. To schedule your appointment, you can email Troy and I. Our email for this is called cartoonistsdrawblood@gmail.com. And we'll set you up with a time. We're going from 10 a.m. till 3:30. And every 15 minutes, we are going to take someone.
So what's that? That's 5.5 hours?
I don't know. I haven't done the math. So, yeah, well, 5.5 hours. Yep. Is 5.5 hours. You're correct.
5.5 hours.
And you know, if
just
you
in time to even enjoy more Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, goodness. Like really, like what really goes on Halloween morning? All the action happens at night. So you know, you'll be out of there by 3:30, of course. And it only takes when you're actually doing your blood, it only takes less than 15 minutes for the whole process. Like it only took me 7 minutes just to actually give the blood. So, you know, they said I'm a fast bleeder, so I got that going for me.
Bleeder.
Yeah. So, you know, and not only that, you get to meet all these really cool cartoonists that are going to be at the event, which is really awesome. Really, really.
Do you
really
also
awesome.
Get to see their books? Are they bringing books or anything for them,
I mean,
to check out?
Yeah, we're going to have like a little waiting room and you can like sample some of our work. You can grab some of our promos. You can meet us. You know, we have a good time and we chat it up and it's pretty fun. And also since this event's on Halloween, we're going to encourage you, but it's not required, but encourage you to dress up in costume, because how awesome would that be to be like a superhero or Batman or something and you're like giving blood?
And you might as well dress up because you're going to be dressing up later that night anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just come prepared.
Gotta be prepared. And just make sure, you know, you can be able to get your sleeve over your elbow. That's what Red Cross recommends. I can give you some more tips about donating blood. I mean, it's pretty amazing, because on the day of donation, please drink plenty of fluids and include iron-rich foods in your diet. And I looked up iron-rich foods because I was like, what exactly is iron-rich food? And off the top of my head, I can name some for you.
Go ahead.
Like broccoli, spinach, chicken, fish, I guess. Yes. You know, just good stuff for you. I think, what else is there? Strawberries. You know, basically all the stuff that you should be eating, that's what you should be eating. And also bring a list of medications if you are taking any and a photo ID. It's gonna be phenomenal, guys. I'm really excited because, like, this has actually been a dream of mine for a few years ever since I, like, initiated this cartoonist draw blood thing. I was like, how awesome would it be if it was, like, on Halloween? Because we were doing some around the fall. I think the other date we had a couple of years ago was, like, November.
And Halloween's on a Saturday, so.
Yeah, exactly. So then when I saw on the calendar that this year it was a Saturday, I'm like, dang, we need to get that date. Book that thing. Book it.
Book it.
And we made it happen, so how awesome is that? Because we've done it in May before, and we've done it in early November, which was, like, the closest I could get to Halloween. But now we're actually on Halloween. This was a goal of mine. So I just want to say we made it happen, and I hope that you're there for it, because it's awesome. You can be like, I gave blood in my Halloween outfit, and they're, like, draining this pint from me. And you know what? It actually is not bad at all. I did it. And I was afraid at first, but I was like, hey, if I'm going to do a blood drive, I have to, like, do it. I have legit,
see,
you know?
My theory here is, like, when you go get a physical or when you go to, like, the doctor or whatever, they're taking blood from you. But when you go to this Red Cross cartoonist draw blood, you're giving blood. See what I'm saying? Do you see the difference? Here you're giving, and over at the hospital and at the physical, at the doctor, they're taking. So what would you rather do? Would you rather give, or would they have it taken from you?
And also another cool little fact is that for every time one person donates, up to 3 lives can be saved. So you can basically be a hero. You can basically be like, dude, I like saved three people's lives and I don't even know about it. They're like complete strangers. That's kind of awesome. You know? Like a little part of you can be like, I did something good. You know, like, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. But just the whole fact that we're going to be drawing for you, the Red Cross is going to be working upstairs, and then we'll, the cartoonist will be downstairs to greet you, say hi, walk you in, and we'll hang out and we'll draw. We've had all types of requests. Like, we've had caricatures. We've had people that want their dogs drawn. You know, you can pull up a picture on your cell phone and say, like, can you draw my kid? We've had so many great opportunities. And then sometimes people just want, like, a crazy character. And Steve Artley has done, he's an editorial cartoonist, and he's done some amazing work with these vampire and Dracula and werewolf characters that we have on our posters you might have seen. But yes, oh, yeah, did I tell you that this is near the Tacoma Metro? Because I know I gave you the address, but for those of you that don't have, like, a car and, you know, just take public transportation, which is a lot of people in D.C., this is near the Tacoma Park Metro. It's right next to, it's right across the street. So it's close. It's close. You can make it. You can do it. And I hope to see you there. Yeah.
So speaking
are you excited, Joe?
So speaking of blood,
yes.
So we saw the Amy Schumer, finally saw the Amy Schumer hour long special. And I'm guessing that's like the pinnacle of like when you're a comedian, right?
I feel
you
like
you have
it
the HBO
is.
Hour you're long like, special. Yeah. Like when you have that, that's like you've made it as
what,
a stand up.
What else can you do? I mean, I'm sure you can do more, but like
an hour and a half special,
I mean,
right?
I mean that I wouldn't even want to go that long just because like. You know, you gotta cap it off. Hours pretty solid.
But like, yeah, what do you feel? Because you've been waiting for that for a while. Because you've grown to become like a fan of Amy Schumer, right? And
yeah,
you've watched like the show and you've seen the movie, the Trainwreck.
I did enjoy Trainwreck. I think
and she also hosted
is
SNL.
The best thing she's done.
Trainwreck is the best thing she's done.
Yeah.
So what is I guess for the people in the world. Like, what is to you the appeal of the Amy Schumer?
Well, okay, so. Amy Schumer, I don't know actually how I first found out about her, but I've known about her for a few years. Oh, actually, I know how I found out about her. I don't know who it was or what podcast I was listening to, but they mentioned there's this comedian that was, like, working with Judd Apatow. And I was like, oh, that's cool, because, like, that's what I want to do, work with Judd Apatow. I was like, that's kind of my dream.
Yeah.
So then, like, I found out, like, Amy Schumer, so I'm like, who is this chick? I need to know who this chick is, because she must have done something good to, like, capture the heart and mind of Judd Apatow, you know?
Yeah.
And so I look her up, and I'm checking her out, watching her, you know, previous stand-up, and I don't know all the full biography of her, but she seemed like a fresh voice, and... She's kind of not really me at all. You know, like, she'll even straight up say that she's more, like, slutty. I guess she sleeps around, but she's protective about it. And,
yeah.
And, you know, like, which is, you know, educational. She's, I guess, educating people about sex and stuff.
She's educating people about sex?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, hopefully they take it the right way.
How does she educate people about sex?
Well, she does have a segment on her... TV show called Inside Amy Schumer on Comedy Central. She has a segment, I think it's called like Amy Tells All or something like that, or some type of interview.
Is that the interview segment?
Yeah, she interviews usually like somebody who connects with the sexy side, you know, like she'll interview like porn star or, you know, sometimes she does like, or I think it's called Amy Goes Deep. That's what it's called.
Okay.
That's her little segment about, and it always goes to sex, you know, and which isn't necessarily a topic that I even enjoy, but, you know, she said a couple things that, like, I've thought in my head. Maybe not even necessarily about the sex, but it's usually, like, 80% of her discussion is about sex.
Well, I mean, that's what she even said, like, in the stand-up, in the hour-long HBO special stand-up. It's like she was labeled as, like, the sex comedian, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, she even said, like, I don't even think of myself as that. But, like, in a way, you said something towards, like, why does it always have to be in that? Or is it is that always the...
I just feel like with female comedians right now, that's, like, a thing to talk about sex. But on one hand...
As opposed to what, though? Like, what else do you think they should...
Well, you can talk about, like, green beans or something. I don't know. Like, something like, else that might be funny.
Because in a way, it's like, you know, you have, like, the females, and I guess in that in that genre now, talking about sex, is almost equivalent to like when the black comedian is talking about the white people.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
It's almost,
you know,
like
white
a,
people.
It's almost like a genre now to have like women talk about sex, which on one hand is cool because it used to be taboo and it's like, oh no, you can't even mention that.
So is that what's
and
happening?
So like now it's just like straight up out there and like, and also I really feel like some of this stuff, well, some of it can be crude, but some of it's like, why is there a problem talking about sex? Like some people are like really scared about talking about menstruation. Which, like, in my head, I always have thought this, like, why don't people talk about it more openly? Like, it's something that every woman has, and yet it's still taboo. It's like, oh,
it's like the
talk about her period.
The hush-hush subjects, huh?
Which, like, I mean, I know it's probably not delightful, like, probably guys don't want to be like, oh, she's bleeding down there, like, they don't even know what it really is, you know, like...
They don't? Isn't that what sex ed is all about?
Well, yeah, but see, this is my thing with sex ed, personally. Like, how old were you when you did sex ed? Like, 13 or something? Like, I don't know, maybe I was a slow learner or something, but I didn't really get involved in sex until, like, a little later. I wasn't, like, planning on having sex when I was... I know that there are some kids that when they're 13, 14, like, they're experimenting with sex. And, like, that, I personally think, is a little early, but, you know, to each their own. Like, a lot of people do it. But I was just like, I can't do this at a young age. Like, I would be just laughing. I was just, like, laughing in sex ed because, like, I didn't know how to handle it. And I was, I guess, immature with that stuff, but... To me, it was like, oh, body parts, like, I'm not gonna, you know, like, oh, boys, like, I'm not gonna touch a boy, you know, like, I didn't.
I'm not gonna touch a boy.
Like, I didn't want to, like, get touchy at that age. So then, like, years later, when you want to get touchy, it's like, and first of all, I wasn't.
When you want to get touchy.
First of all, like,
touchy times.
I wasn't, like, paying attention, really, so I, like, don't know, like, how it all necessarily works, so I'm, like, behind the times with that. Because I wasn't paying attention when I was, like, 12 or 13. Like, I knew of the stuff. I knew, like, you know, how some of it might work. But then I really didn't know because I lost all that information.
But that's why
know?
You need those classes, you know? That's why you need
the
education.
I think it's good that they have the education. But then, like, I kind of feel like people need to continue talking about it now, rather than just having it end. Because, I don't know, man. And then there are some people that have their periods, like, in fourth grade. Like, I know a girl who had her period in fourth grade, and I didn't have mine until, like, middle school. I can't remember if it was seventh or eighth grade.
What happens to her when she has her period in fourth grade?
I don't know, but,
is she,
like,
ahead of the curve?
That means that she can have a baby.
So she can have, she's the first, like, the first in line?
But, I mean, she didn't have a baby until, like, after college, but, like, you know, she could have had one if she was having sex in fourth grade. You know, like, I don't think she was, but, like, she's a woman now, like, she's bleeding down there. But I just think that, like, guys, even as, in an adult, like, guys don't want to hear about periods. And, like, to me, it's, like, a part of being just a woman, and then there's so many women out there, but it's still like, oh, don't talk about it.
Hush, hush.
This is my time of the month. You know, like, it's secret. But whereas, like, I'm like, think about time of the month. So, it's usually, like, about... Period is like it ranges with certain women, but it's usually like, I guess, 5 to 7 days.
5 to 7 months.
So let's just put it in roughly. It's basically like 1 week out of a month.
Yeah.
So that means 20 to 25% of a month, or in a year.
When they tell and the teachers tell
you're
them that
you're on like period zone.
Period zone.
Or, you know, Crimson Tide. You like you're in it, and like that's a lot.
I don't know if a lot of people reference it as Crimson Tide though.
Well, I do. And, you know, the Alabama Clemson Tide. Anyway, football reference. Sorry.
Sorry, sports fans.
Sorry if I ruined Alabama for you. But, so, like, think about how many women are on planet Earth. And then think about how, like, at any time, each one of them might be on their period. Like, 1 out of 4 women are on their period. And then even worse... What happens with certain women is that if they're around other women, they'll get the period at the same time as the other women if it's not regulated, like in birth control, like you know when you're going to get your period.
It's a horrible thought.
But like if you're not on birth control, like, and you're around another woman, you could like be on their cycle.
And then
that means
the whole world,
like,
is ruined.
They come together.
And then this walls collapse and men look out, or women look out.
Isn't that crazy though, how like they get that vibe.
I do wonder about that with lesbians now. Does that mean they're going to have their cycle at the same time, or does it even matter? Does it even matter?
It would probably be better for them then. Like, if
so, they're all just bitchy at the same time.
Well, then also they're just like, or whatever. Oh, we can't do it right now. Okay.
Is that still a thing? Or like, are women still bitchy during their periods?
I think probably.
Is that just a universal thing?
I don't know. I don't want to answer for all women.
Needs to answer for all women.
Well, here's the thing. Like, okay, I guess back to the Amy Schumer thing. It's like she talks about stuff that like is still taboo.
Amy is big right now. She's speaking for all women.
I think that's part of it. Like, I think that that's part of her appeal. And what's interesting is that like her body shape. I don't necessarily think she's fat. Like, she's definitely like a bigger body shape than what you're used to seeing. Like a prominent like. You know, she did.
I mean, at this point, what is the range of fat at this point? You know what I mean?
I wouldn't even call her fat. Like, I don't think she's fat, but she is chubby.
What is
chubby.
Fat?
Melissa McCarthy is fat.
And also that British girl, that Rebel Wilson, is she fat?
I think Rebel Wilson is obese. Like, there is like.
She fat?
See, it goes from thin to like, I don't even know what normal is, but let's just say healthy. Thin. Like, which would be under healthy, like very skinny.
Is this all going to be gauged by the face, though?
No, it's the full body. I mean, there are people that have like chubby faces.
If a person was fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they were, but they still had a pretty face. Do you think that matters?
Like Melissa McCarthy. I mean,
well, I was going to say any one of those plus size models too.
I mean, well, that's part of like why I think like fat people that have nice faces. Are like the ones that you'll see like in magazines and stuff. But if you're just like at Walmart, they usually might not have a good face to go with the body.
Pretty much anyone who's on TV has a nice face.
Yeah, like anyone that's in like modeling,
entertainment value, though, they probably have a nice face.
Yeah, even if they're like a little bit heavy, like they're still gonna have a good face. Like they gotta have that going for them.
That's the beginning.
But as far as like body shapes go,
a lot of people have good faces.
Yeah, as far as body shapes go, though, there's like extremely thin, then there's like healthy, then there's like chubby. Then there's fat, and then there's obese. So I don't know how many that was. Five? There's different types. Then there's like, this person's athletic, and then this person's like really tall and skinny. You know, like then it gets into like actual shapes. But as far as like health-wise, like I think it fits into those five categories. And I don't know what the height-weight ratio breaks down to. Because I know like the USDA has like a breakdown of things, but that's a little off because like based on their height and weight, there's like people that look normal but like they're calling obese.
Yeah,
so I don't know, it's kind of like a visual thing. Like I said, okay, let's try to break this down. Like
let's break down the fitness.
Like who would be really really skinny, like Miley Cyrus. I don't think she's anorexic or anything, but she's thin.
Any performer that has to dance a lot, I would not put them in the anorexic territory.
No, I'm not putting her in there. I'm putting her in like a fit category.
You got to be fit to do what they those
like. I'm
those
trying to
pop
think of like
do.
I don't know who actually
you got to go to the
you got
to go
right
to the models category.
Okay, models like might be like that scary territory where it's like. I know they're going to eat a hamburger right after the Victoria's Secret show because they just, like, haven't eaten for 2 weeks before the show. Like, that might be, like, borderline, you know, thin, scary zone. Then, like, then they'll put, like, a Miley Cyrus who's, like, fit and thin. Then, like, I guess that's a category that's kind of in between. Then, like, a regular healthy might be, who's that girl that's with Justin Timberlake?
I have no idea.
The one from, like, Seventh Heaven.
Oh, Jessica Biel?
Yeah, okay, so, like, Jessica Biel, I'll put in, like, a regular healthy.
I mean, I'll put Scarlett Johansson in the regular healthy.
Oh, yeah, I'll put her in that category, too. Yeah, because ScarJo, like, trains for her Black Widow character. Like, she's in good shape, and she's, like, regular health. Like, I wouldn't say regular, because most people aren't even like that.
She's fit.
And this is Hollywood, because we're using, like, names of people that everyone knows. Of course we know people that, like, are a little chubby, you know, that are every day walking around because they don't exercise enough. So then, you know, like that's kind of, I'd say like ScarJo is a really good example of like a fit, healthy person. And then it gets into like a little bit heavier, which is what I would put an Amy Schumer, which is actually what I'd put like most American women is probably as an Amy Schumer. I mean, like I know that a lot of people are overweight now, but like, I think that Amy Schumer, like her body is probably the average. Like, if they were to make, like, an average Barbie, it would probably be close to Amy Schumer.
No.
Really?
I wouldn't say that.
I think that her body shape is... I mean, I don't know how tall she is, but I'm basically what I'm pointing out is that maybe a lot of women relate to her.
She's a little bit on more on the bigger side than the average side, I would say.
Dude, have you been to see that? Like, I know you hang around models and stuff a lot.
I do. I hang out models all the time.
Yeah, most of... I'd
when
say
do
most,
I hang
and
out
like
these
burlesque
so,
dancers.
When do I hang out with these people all the time? I don't think I hang out with them.
I don't know. Okay, let me rephrase that. You work with a lot of fit and thin people.
I'm also around a lot of normal people, too.
But behind I think that Amy Schumer is more normal.
When people behind the camera are a lot more normal shape.
That's true. I mean, you can see like a bit of doughy... you know, doughboy look to like most normal people and most, but like we're talking about all these Hollywood
Schumer
people that have trainers.
Amy definitely has a doughiness to her.
Yes, I will give her that. And, but you know what? That's part of, I think, her appeal, and that's who she is too, which is, I guess the kind of cool thing about her is that like she, even though she like said on her special that she had a trainer and she lost like 10 pounds just because she was cutting some foods out. And like that's, I think that that's really good. Like there's the benefits of losing just 10 pounds is drastic for like even just average people. Even if you like, if you think that, you know, you could lose a few pounds, like just the health benefits of losing 10 pounds is amazing. So that's pretty awesome that she lost 10 pounds. But besides that, like, you know, I think she is healthy. She loves to eat food. You know, she's not trying to starve herself, and she's trying to enjoy life. And I think a lot of people want that type of role model versus having somebody that's like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen who look thin to me.
Oh, I guess they're more relatable to them.
Yeah, like Amy Schumer seems like the girl. Like, and I actually don't have any friends that are necessarily like her, but she does seem like a girl.
Margaret Cho, remember her?
Yes,
I do.
She follows me on Twitter, and I follow her on Twitter. So we're like BFFs.
I'm not gonna lie, but I do feel like Margaret Cho was doing the Amy Schumer back
before
in the 90s. Yeah,
I mean she probably was, and she
but
also had
she
the
was,
Asian thing
but
going
she's
for her
Asian
too.
Though. That's it's a little different.
She's the Asian Amy Schumer.
No.
But
I say that because like that's the similarities. They hit the similar things.
But didn't Margaret Cho have like some stuff about her mom too?
Well, I mean, like they talked about, I feel like they still hit in that same, they're in the same sort of like demographic genre because they were still both rowdy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what about Sarah Silverman?
And they both,
Sarah
and
Silverman
still
talks
that,
about
no,
sex.
But they're also, they're both sort of, they're chubby too at the same time.
Yeah. See, Sarah Silverman though is like,
and
is thin.
And Margaret Cho also said vagina and all that stuff a whole lot. Talked about sex.
She said, you know, the V word?
She did.
Oh my god. No, but like I
they should go on a tour. That should be like that. The vagina tour would be just like
the vagina monologues.
The vagina tour would be just like the Kings of Comedy where it's like all these guys, all the guys, but this would be all the females.
Or like the redneck tours.
Yeah.
Or blue collar.
But for females,
comedy?
You know?
I mean,
who would be in that lineup? It had before four up and coming because like the Kings of Comedy had Bernie Mac, Cedric was there. Hughley, and there's someone else. Was that four? Is that already four?
I don't know. Bernie Mac,
Cedric Entertainment. Oh yeah, the Steve Harvey was there too.
Yeah.
So they should have a female version of that and go on tour.
Who would be
in that lineup? Unless I've
Sarah Silverman.
It. Yeah.
She talks a lot about that stuff. I mean, like, really,
that'd be sick.
It'd
be
like...
Sarah Silverman, Amy Schumer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who else would
Margaret
be?
Margaret Cho,
and then what? One more female? What about that chick from that was up from...
Nikki Glaser?
Is she good stand-up?
Yeah. I don't know how much she talks about her... I don't think she does talk about sex as much.
That third slot is a pretty crucial third slot, yeah.
Or Eliza Schlesinger. She sometimes talks about that stuff. Or... Natasha Leggero. I think it should be Natasha.
There you go. So it'll be like, yeah. It'll be Natasha, Margaret, Amy, and then Sarah. That'll be a good lineup.
Yeah.
That's a good lineup right there.
The Pussy Tour.
Yeah, the Pussy Tour.
There you go.
Would you pay to see that? That'd be a stacked deck right there, man.
It's like a full like four hours of pussy.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. There's the lineup right there. I don't see. Book it now. Book that now.
But you know, like I appreciate the openness about like the sex talk. Like I feel like some people need to like talk about it and not be shamed.
But I feel like that's been a staple thing too.
Like every female now. That's their thing.
But also like a lot of just comedians in general just talk about sex. That's
but
part of the dirty world.
When guys do it, it's like not shamed. When women do it, like now it's getting a little better.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
but
it's
no,
also like it's like the girl
to be perfect.
But you know, it's like the girl band aesthetic to it. It's like, oh, like a normal guy band, you know, it's all tough when they do it, but when a girl does it, they're like, oh wow, that's you know, it's like girls
shocking.
Doing it now. Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand how it's really that shocking, honestly, because like everybody has like a private part and
not everyone.
Some people don't have any.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
They're angels.
I don't know. I don't know about the angels' private parts, but I'm just saying most humans have, you know, privates, and I don't understand, like, why everything is so taboo about the body. Because it's just a body. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm more from, like, some artsy-fartsy perspective, but when I was, like, in art school, we, like, drew naked people, and, like, it wasn't sexualized. It was just, like, this is the human body. And I feel like maybe a lot of people didn't go to art school, so then it's more like a sex object to them. Like, they're like, take your clothes off. Oh, yeah.
Well,
you know, like...
Because it is.
Like, but... You,
that's
like,
what it is, man.
But I don't view it like that sometimes, you know? Like, I just think it's a body. And, like, same thing with, like, the period or, like, you know, menstruation. It's like, that's a natural thing of the body. But no one...
That's just the blood.
That's
just the eggs.
But how come no one wants to talk about it?
Well, what are you supposed to talk about?
I mean, there could be something funny there, you know?
I mean, there definitely is something funny there.
Like, the whole thing is funny. But then, like, it's always...
The outcome is funny. The beforehand... That's all of it.
I feel like it's...
The fear that happens into it, that's funny. Or the when people discover it, that's funny. The clothing choices that they have to do, that's funny. The choices they can't make when they're doing that, the repercussions of it, that's hilarious. It's all hilarious and scary.
Or if you're like wearing white, or if like you don't know when it's starting, or if like you think that you're pregnant, but then like you don't know for sure, but then like all of a sudden you get your period and you're like, thank God I'm not pregnant.
So does PMS, what does that stand for?
Premenstrual syndrome or something like that. It's actually...
Does no one know what PMS?
No, it's like premenstrual syndrome. Premarital
sex? Is that
no,
what that is?
It's actually supposed to happen before you get your period. You're supposed to get PMS because it's like this thing that's like coming up before your period. So that means like you're probably already angry like before you even get your period. Like you know that it's coming.
And then what happens then what? It gets a lot worse?
You're just like... Well, first of all, when women get their period, scientifically, they're running low in iron. So all the foods that I named earlier in the podcast for the blood drive, they tell you to eat like iron-rich foods. But your body, as a woman, the iron levels decrease significantly. So that means you're running out of energy and you're tired automatically.
Is that why they're always cranky? Is that what the crankiness
probably,
comes in?
That probably has part of
like,
it.
Where it's like, I'm PMSing up. I need to rah, rah, rah.
Like, imagine, like, if, like, guys never had that. They just have all their testosterone. They're just like, oh, I'm king of the world. Yes. You know, like, and that's great. But, like, women, like, naturally, when they are on their period, like, they're going to be sluggish, tired. Like, they're not going to be 100%. Like, I mean, I bet there are some women that are, and they're just like, I'm gonna power through it, and like, you know, like, they just drink a Red Bull, and then they get wings, and then they're angels without private parts.
They get wings.
You know, like, that's how it works. So, I mean, they power through it, and they can survive their period, but I'm just saying, naturally, it decreases your iron levels, probably because, this again, I'm not a doctor, but like, if blood is leaving you, you know, that means that you're not getting those nutrients. the blood is leaving your body. But what I think is interesting,
and thus the rage,
and then the other thing is, okay, you know how I was saying earlier in the podcast how like, you know, I wasn't having sex when I was 13, and basically when I was learning about sex it was kind of like a joke to me, so I was kind of halfway paying attention, like I don't know, like I you know when they show you like a diagram of the penis and they show you like all the body parts,
I love
like, the
I
labeling
love,
of
I
it
I love when they do show you the images of the penis to like, here's a it's flaccid, like a medical a flaccid illustration. Yeah, it's always like the 3D one where you can see into the cells and all the stuff like that and where the flow is and everything. But then they always have the before and then the after. It's like, this is a flaccid penis and this is an erect penis. And then it's like instantly, but it's never really like, it's like a cartoon version of it. But either way, everyone always laughs. But there's always like just like the soft, hard, soft, hard.
Well, like, see, I don't even know all that, like...
Sex education.
Like, I was like, where did those years go? Because, like, I'm glad I went to it and I was educated, but, like, I just don't understand how a lot of it works. And then even when I go...
Wait, what? You don't understand how a lot of it works?
Like, no, when I go to, like, my gynecologist...
Penis and vagina.
No, but when I go... Like, I don't know
the... My father looks at vaginas all day long.
Like, you know how when they point to, like, the certain parts of it, and they're like, this is the...
This is the testicle.
Yeah, like, all that, like...
This is where the sperm enters here during intercourse, and then the egg, and then one out of a million will try to impregnate the egg, and then the egg will split, and then it explodes, and then you die.
Oh, it's sad. Well, like, it's just, to me, like, also, when I go to, like, a gynecologist and stuff, like, I don't want to, like, ask all those questions and be like, oh, what is this? Like, like, I have questions. I seriously have questions about, like, how the female body works. And I just wish that there was, I mean, I know there's, like, the internet, but I was, like, going to say, I was like, I wish that there's some class I could take about, like, what exactly the period is. I'm like, because
there is a class you can take, actually.
What?
Sex education.
Well, like, I want
health class.
I actually want to know it as an adult and not have to, like, laugh at it.
Just Wikipedia.
Like,
you can just Wikipedia it now.
I probably can.
What does the vagina do?
But, like, you know, the blood that comes out. Okay, Joe, do you know this? The blood that comes out, like, when you're having a period.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, a different type of blood than, like, if you just cut your hand or something.
Oh, yeah? What type of blood is it? It's egg blood,
like,
right?
Yeah. It's like lumpier.
It's like a flushy, it's flushing blood.
It's like, I don't know how to really describe it, but it's not like, you know, if you like have
like a clay blood,
a cut in your hand from like cutting up vegetables or something, like that type of cut, like, or like an X-Acto knife cut, like you see like red flowing blood
cutting vegetables,
like you have like red flowing blood in like your hand or something. But then like the blood that comes out of the period to me is like a different blood. And like, I'm
what's
like,
it taste like?
Oh my god, I'll have to try it.
Does this, it taste more with more iron in it? Is that what it is?
It probably is. Do you know, I had a science teacher in like sixth grade. He was like the only male teacher we had he wasn't English, he was a science teacher. He was the only male teacher that I remember having in elementary school. Maybe I had one other, but he's the only one that I remember. But I don't remember his name or anything, but he had, like, Prince Albert, like, chewing tobacco cans, like, in the center of, like, maybe there was, like, four or five desks that would be huddled together, and then in the center there was, like, supplies in, like, a Prince Albert chewing tobacco can. But anyway, one day I remember him specifically saying this. He said something like, he's like, oh, have you ever tasted your own blood? It tastes really good. And I just remember him like saying that he liked tasting his own blood, and I love the blood. I was just like, ooh. I mean, I've tasted blood before, because you know when you cut your finger and you like suck on it because you try to make it not flow out anymore.
Yeah.
So I've done that. I have tasted that blood before, but I don't know, man. Like, I was like, it's just rough, man. And also, like, what if, I don't know, I feel for like some of these young girls that are like really young getting their period. And even I will say, like, even in middle school, the average age that a girl gets it is like 7th or 8th grade. I think that's like on par with the average timing, and maybe 7th grade. It's like so early if you really think about how immature a 7th grader is.
Yeah,
it's like, dude, that means that person can have a baby.
Like, and they should have a baby.
No. 7th grade and pregnant. You know, like, it's like, that's just, like, not...
7th grade and pregnant.
Like, that will be the next show. Like, it's just not right. And, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's part of the human body. But, see, the thing is, like, boys at age 7, or, boys at 7th grade, or even 4th grade, like, I was saying that one girl I know in 4th grade got her period. Like, I can't even imagine a 4th grade, your age boy... like having any type of drastic thing like that. Like,
wait, what? A fourth grade boy?
Yeah. Like,
boy?
Yes. But it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, girls are handling these like really mature things like early on. Like, boy in seventh grade or even fourth grade, whatever, that age group, like, the most they have to worry about is like scoring a soccer goal.
That's becoming a woman. How do boys become men?
Boys become men when they are like 24 and they move out of their house.
What's the passing of that, of the becoming men?
But do you realize that boys become men basically like a decade later?
What? So when they move out of the house, that's when they become men?
I don't know. I'm just making that up. But like, I just know that there's like, even when at age 18,
it's a financial thing. For boys become men, it's financial.
It might be. Let me think about this.
For women, it's just a natural
thing.
They
always say, like, oh, when you get your period, now you're a woman, like that type of thing. And
she's
like,
a woman, congratulations.
But like, then meanwhile, everyone's like, oh, little girl. Like, I'm still called little girl all the time.
Really? You know? People call you little girl all the time?
Yes.
What's wrong with these people?
I'm just saying, like,
people call you what they want to call, right?
I'm not saying all the time, but like, I have been called little girl, and it's like, oh, I'm just a little girl. Meanwhile, like a 14-year-old
guys
can
think
be
that
like
girls,
a woman.
I feel like guys feel like girls like that. They're like, oh, hi, little girl. And they'd be like, oh, hi, big daddy. That's what I feel like they're expecting to be called.
Hi, big daddy.
That's what they're expecting, their little playful foreplay talk.
Can
that's what
you
it
pour
is.
Me a sweet tea?
Yeah, that's what I feel like they're trying to get at.
I'm Magnolia. Hi, Big Daddy.
Hey, Big Daddy, he on the tee. You want to go in the house?
Play me something on the piano.
Yeah, I feel like that's what they're trying to get at. You know what I mean? That's the goal of calling, hi, little girl.
I mean, it is like
hi,
basically like a downplay.
Hi, little girl.
Hey, little girl. She's just definitely a little girl.
It's just definitely a downplay. That's what they try to do?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's also a generational thing, but I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, when a young girl is getting her period, then they're like, oh, she's a woman now. But then when does a boy become a man? Like, that's a good question.
I don't even think
is it like the first time he has sex? It's like, oh,
I don't,
now he's
I don't,
a man.
I don't think when a woman has her first period, I don't even, or a girl has her first period, I don't think that's when she becomes a woman. I feel like being a woman is earned.
Is it when she has her bat mitzvah?
I feel like a woman is being named or being called a woman is earned. And beyond that, you're just a girl. If you haven't solved one single problem, you're a girl. Women mean something in this world. They mean something. If not, you're just a girl.
I don't know. It's hard to really determine that rank. I mean, I sometimes say, like, girl just to reference woman, because I also think that's a generational thing, because growing up you're always like, what's up girl, hey girl, blah 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 girl, so it's like it's already engraved in your head just to be like any female's girl. But I guess
that's what I'm saying, every female is a girl, but then a woman like deserves it.
Yeah,
that's like, well, that's a wisdom, maturity, strength, you know. Woman,
there's also a thing,
girl
that, I
is
guess,
like tutu.
When people turn 18, they become adults, so you could determine it that way.
Yeah, but
be
that's
like,
only,
oh, he's a man and
no,
she's
but
a woman.
See, to me, that's only based on governmental stuff, because then you can. So that make you, and you're 16 then in like UK and other countries.
Well, we're just younger. Talking about America right now.
Well, it's different though. America's. I mean,
also over in Europe, you can drink at a super young age.
That's what I'm saying. So like the 18 thing is that's just a fraud.
Well,
that's just make believe. That's just.
How about...
That's just old men talking.
This is actually how I will make up the rules, but I will say, like, after your college age, I feel like that's when you should be called a man and a woman. Because going through college, like, you grow, you're still, like, learning for a few years on your own, away from your parents, and you graduate, you know? And, like, to me, that's kind of, like, I feel like one step closer to being more of an adult. You know, even like the day I graduated college, like you can't really be like, the day you graduate college, you become a woman.
It's
like,
funny,
but
it's funny,
but
because I look at pictures of myself graduating high school and I'm just like, still looks like a kid. And I saw photos of me graduating college. I was just like, still looks like a kid.
Guys won't be adult until, you know, like later, I think. I don't know. I feel like guys do transition many years later than women. Like, women are more mature in general.
No.
You think they're equal?
No.
So you think women are more immature?
Yes. I think they're all immature.
What about men?
No, I think they're all
See, I look like, all like immature. A 16-year-old boy, and those are like really boys. But then I've seen 16-year-old girls walk around at the mall, and I'm like, dang, those are women. Like, some of them like look like they're in their 20s now, and it's, I know there's really, like 16.
It's really impossible just to
they
be
get
able
their
to,
nails done.
It's really
and
impossible
all that.
To speak in just like wide, you know, generalizations, because genetics is different. Genetics are stronger. I mean, really, if you come from different places in the world, you're going to be bigger. You're going to be more muscular and
I'm
look
just
more
talking
mature.
About averages here. You know,
well,
like
the averages is usually the lower average.
I'm just saying I've seen 16-year-old girls, packs of girls that like are very mature. And then I've seen 16-year-old packs of boys that are very immature.
Yeah. And then the both the other way around, too.
Probably.
I've still seen little girls that are apparently like, oh, they just graduate college or they're doing that. I'm like, wow, you still look like a little girl.
I mean, maybe also this whole like Seth Rogen syndrome where like guys and girls like just don't grow up until later on. It takes a long time for people to mature now, which is really interesting because like I know we're not living in Civil War time, but like Civil War time, it's like when you're 16, it's like you're off to battle and you're a man.
Well, it's tough because like deciding what's mature these days, it's a unique situation because what is mature? Paying your bills or having to deal with heavy drama or going through some heavy death in your life? What is really maturity? You know what I mean?
I think maturity is basically you're at a level where you're taking care of yourself. You are taking care of yourself or other people. And you don't have anyone else taking care of you.
But then what if you're still doing that, you can still be at an immature level mentally though too.
You might be. Because it's actually funny, like I'm always thinking this recently. Like when I was, 18, and I'd think that like 30 was not necessarily old, but I'd be like, those people have their life together. They're 30, you know? And then I run into people in their 30s and they like don't have their life together. And then I've also run into people in like their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they don't have their life together. So I'm like, what's up with that? I guess there are adults that are just like not with it, not getting it. Like they're not on track. They're not focused.
I was just looking at my hands. And I was like wondering why is it on your hands are the only places you can really see the bones? So that's pretty.
What about your ankle? Can't you see your ankle?
I just
bone?
Think it's real. When you look at this is way off subject, but when you look at your hands, it just makes you wonder. It's like okay, the design of the hands. It's like how come you can see your bones, but then like, why can you see your bones anyway? That's freaky. Seeing bones is weird, man.
The worst.
I just look at it. It's like that's sort of scary. I'm just
what
realizing
about your
that.
Knee?
Any of that. I'm like, why are we seeing our bones? That's weird. That's mature. That's how you know.
You're mature.
So but the like, the Amy Schumer thing, did you enjoy it?
Back to Amy Schumer. Yeah, I did enjoy it. I don't think it... I really enjoyed Trainwreck a lot. I feel like that, to me, is like the pinnacle of her career. I mean, maybe she has something more up her sleeve. I'm not saying that that's like all she has to offer. But I really liked Trainwreck this past summer, and I thought like the movie was just excellent, and it made me feel so many emotions. And I felt like it was good to have a comedy that can push and pull you like that. It wasn't just like Laugh Factory, but there was like more to it, you know.
Laugh Factory.
And I really liked Colin Quinn in that movie too. Like all the cast was really great. And I did like Amy Schumer's stand-up special. Like, I think she's has something to offer. I think, like, a lot of people might find her annoying or fat or she's a girl. Like, there's so many strikes against her. But, like, it's cool to see someone's career rise high who is, like, unexpected. You know, like, she mentioned Kate Upton in her special. And, like, you know, Kate Upton obviously is a gorgeous woman. She's a model. She looks like she has everything going for her. And, like, that's the type of
she
person...
She looks like she has everything going for her.
Yeah. That's the type of person that, like, you always see. You know, that you're like, oh, that person's, like, you know, obviously perfect. You know, like, that type of thing.
What?
And
she's obviously perfect.
Like, I don't even know anything about her, honestly.
I've heard so much with even models that I've worked with. They're like, saying that she's fat and that she should be called a plus-size model.
Okay.
So, obviously, people think she's perfect.
I mean, there's a lot of people that think she's really gorgeous too. So like, but I'm just,
we break it down to what it actually really means. The face.
I mean, she has a good face.
She has a solid face.
And, you know,
appealing face she has.
Okay, well, I don't know who to use as an example, but you know how, like, there's, like, this typical beautiful woman that, like, everyone's like, she's got it together. Well, Amy Schumer is, like, a different take on somebody who, like, has their career together, maybe not have other things in life together, but she's figuring it out. She's not, like, she doesn't have, like, necessarily the perfect typical body.
But maybe she does.
But maybe she does. And she's rocking it. And like,
because why is a like Skeletor model body, why is that the perfect body, right?
And it's not necessarily to me.
It's not to me.
I mean, anyway. But, you know, she has like a different type of body. But yet she's appealing enough that like people can look at her. And then there's always like this discussion online of like, is she hot or not? Like she has that perfect dynamic of like creating buzz. So, like, people check her out, you know? And she's just, like, the it girl of comedy right now. And I like that she's opening up dialogues about stuff that, like, people shouldn't be ashamed to talk about. And, you know, if you want to be a prude, then that's fine. I mean, there's some sex stuff that I'm like, I don't really want to hear about that. But, you know, there's some stuff that it's worth talking about and it's worth having fun with. And I think that she's a good voice that we have in this generation. It's good to have someone like that, and
I still vouch for that tour. I'd like to see that
Pussy Nation,
Pussy Nation tour, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
hosted by Rebel Wilson. How about that?
Oh God,
or Melissa McCarthy.
I'd rather have Melissa McCarthy.
But Melissa is not stand up though. She's an actress.
No,
I think Rebel is actually a comedian.
But I don't dislike Rebel, but I just her accent I just don't love.
Well, that's part of the gimmick, though.
I don't. Let's find someone else to be on it.
All right, we'll produce it.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you by Astray Productions. Check them out at Astray. Check them out at AstrayProductions.com. Check out my work at JoeCarabello.com. GoAstray.tumblr.com. Also, check out my films at One-Shots.com. You can follow me on AstrayJ. On the Instagram and on the Twitter. What do you got, Carolyn?
Yes. This episode is brought to you by the letter C, and it stands for Carolyn. You can reach me at carolynbelevsky.com, and I also have a webcomic called Curls, and you can check that out at curls-studio.com/curls. Yes.
That's
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, all that stuff.
That's right.
I'm on Facebook, unfortunately, but yeah.
That's right.
All under the name Carolyn Belevsky.
Don't forget to check out this show every single week. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, the Carolyn and Joe Show Carolyn and Joe Show, carolynjoeshow.com. That's how we do it. Repeat it. I'll just keep repeating it until it happens. Stitcher Radio, iTunes, carolynjoeshow.com. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
Ah. There you go. Now it's working.